If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You are listening to Garden Talk on The Answer, KCBQ, and K-Praise. I am David Ross, along with just George Allman. Ken and Mark are having a much-deserved Saturday morning sleep-in separately. Good morning, George.
Good morning. This is a subset.
The way I brought it in, I figured I better say
it. You need to qualify.
I should. Yeah. Are we a subset?
A subset of the Garden Talk team.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good so far. It's early.
It is early.
But it was a crystal clear morning.
Until you got closer to the studio where it's very, very foggy and overcast.
Yeah. I don't know if that's because you were near here or was it crystal clear where you came from?
It was crystal clear where I came from as well. This beautiful morning.
See the moon? About half of one?
You know what? I looked up. I did not see it.
I'm
you don't know what to say.
I do not know what
to say. Which is rare, but.
Yeah, I will just let it go. We had an interesting week. We had a little bit of weather this week, did we not?
We had a touch of rain, but not enough to do much.
Did you have people come in that said they had not watered because of the rain or anything like that?
I didn't, but you know, we were doing some irrigation at Capri's, and we were thinking maybe I wouldn't have to dig as, you know, with as much vigor because it might be soft, but that was not true. It didn't, you know, get enough rain down deep enough to do anything.
If your digging only involved the first quarter inch of the soil, it probably did help.
I would say eighth of an inch.
Eighth of an inch?
Yeah, because I did dig deeper and there was no moisture below an eighth of an inch.
Okay. Yeah. But you did feel the ease at which your tools went through the first eighth of an inch?
When I dropped it, yes, yeah.
It is interesting because it looks, you go out and walk in the yard, everything is dark. The soil
right.
looks wet and it's overcast. It's cooler than it's been. And we've had a little bit of precipitation. So you think, oh, great, I don't have to water this week.
You gather the firewood, you get ready to have a fire in the house because it's so cold out, damp.
Didn't go that far.
Okay. But you're right. I mean, it did seem like you wouldn't have to water.
But
you did.
Because?
Because that was not enough moisture, not enough rain, and particularly for pots, as we always say. Anything in a pot's going to need, you know, if it rains, we still have to water those pots.
So it is your contention that the roots of most of your plants go down below the eighth of an inch that the water penetrated?
That's unscientific on my part. I haven't done, you know, detailed studies,
anecdotal.
But I do believe they probably go a bit deeper than that eighth, perhaps even deeper than the quarter of an inch that you were alluding to.
I agree. What it did do, though, is I was able to put off watering a day or two. So it gave me an extra day's water that I didn't have to expend, but it didn't take place. The overcast reduced the need.
Right, right.
And we had a couple of good days of overcast, and we might have a little bit more of that today, but the thunderstorms are staying further east.
I like those. I was kind of hoping that we'd get some a little bit further this way.
When I was younger, when they were coming up, I'd go to them. And I don't know why I didn't this week, probably because I was working, but maybe this afternoon I'll take a drive out to the east. I like driving out into thunderstorms. I know that's what intelligent people do. They drive towards silliness, but
when I lived in the south and where I grew up back east, I would sit at the front porch and just watch the thunderstorms.
Yeah, that's
wonderful.
When they come to you.
They
we
come
can't
to
do
you.
That here.
Right.
You're not there anymore, George.
I am
You're
not.
Here now.
I am not.
I did get, do you remember Bill Nidzwicki?
I do, yes.
He has retired from the landscape business and moved up to Idlewild, or just up the hill from Idlewild and Pine Cove, and he sent posted video yesterday. They were getting significant thunderstorms up there, and there was flash flooding coming down the street. It looked really neat, and I would have liked to have been there.
I recall him sending some photographs of some snow when he first moved up there last winter, perhaps.
Yeah, it's a different season, but...
Right.
but
my point was it was from him showing this new place that he was living in.
We used to, as a group, go camping up at this same facility up in Pine Cove every summer. And it was so nice up there, so beautiful. And we didn't get any snow, and I don't think we got any thunderstorms while we were up there. But neat, neat area just up the hill from Idlewild.
One of my sons, who's an avid rock climber, goes up that way periodically to do some climbing.
I'm supposed to go do that sometime. But
rock climbing? Well, you're going to do some indoor rock climb, bouldering with me one of these days when you...
You're just waiting for my... You want to watch my shoulder. Bit, yeah. My shoulder just crunched down. If you would like to give us a call, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You want to share with what or have questions about what is going on in your yard or garden, we'd love to hear from you. Do we have any classes going on today, George?
I do so. I believe
that's
we do.
That's your department.
That's my world. So yeah. Down in San Diego at 9 o'clock, they're going to have plumeria care with Olivia. Now, do you grow plumerias? Do you have any?
I do have a few.
Large container size, or how are you growing them?
Actually, I have, you know, I go through cycles, and I used to have a lot of plumeria. And then I croaked most of them and got out of the plumeria business for a while, and now I have... probably half a dozen plants.
I was thinking in your typical David manner, we're going to say I have some cuttings that are drying out in the garage that I brought home last year or something like that. So I was very surprised to hear that they're actually growing.
Well, may I finish my thought?
Please,
in addition to the half a dozen pots I have, there's a couple of cuttings that
are drying up in the garage.
Well, okay. They're outside of the garage. They're in the shade, but yes, I do have those.
So I wasn't far off.
No, you weren't at all. Thank you very much for pointing it out.
And in Poway today at 9:30, David and I are going to do a citrus class. And it was David originally, but he brought me in for comedic relief or to be the straight man, one or the other, to help him out.
To help me out. Yeah. We had a lot of fun.
We had fun.
I had a lot of fun. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I enjoyed doing the Master Gardener Seminar with you.
It was enjoyable. It was a lot of fun.
As a wing person?
Yes. Yeah. And we could duke it out if it gets a little ugly, you know.
No, you're trained.
I was thinking of my dad used to box golden gloves in his youth, so I was thinking of bringing in his gloves from like the 30s or 40s, and we can use them in case we...
In case we need them, are you going to bring two pair?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, can I put a brick in mine?
You may, of course.
Yeah, you're not worried.
So that's at 9:30 in Poway today.
And it should be good.
It should be fun.
We'll talk a little bit more about citrus coming up. So at Walter Anderson Nursery in Point Loma at 9 a.m., plumeria. And at Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway at 9:30, Mutt and Jeff with citrus. Not sure who... I was having dinner at the, I think it was Cask and Cleaver in Rancho Bernardo with my grandmother many, many years ago. And our server, we had a training server. So the trainer was being followed around by somebody. And that was the first time I'd heard that expression.
The Mutt and Jeff.
My grandmother quietly said to me for the entire restaurant to hear in her quiet voice, that I'm not sure which one's Mutt and which one's Jeff. So you had a different one, right? You had a different pair of, and I admonished you and I was wrong.
We said click and clack, right?
Yes.
Right. But I thought you were the one that said click and clack.
No, I'm Mutt and Jeff or frickin' frack.
That's right. I said click and clack. You said frickin' frack.
All right. So if you guys want to come have a, I don't know what it would be, and you're listening to
us
here.
An old married couple bicker.
You probably don't want to hear us anymore after today, after the hour has been spent here. But if you do, you can come visit us at Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway and listen to us do whatever.
And just for planning for next week, because our two good classes.
Do we have classes next week?
Yeah, next week we have two good classes. In San Diego, How Orchids Rebloom with Chuck McClung. And he's a local gardener and an orchid guru, and he's done a number of classes for us before.
Is he an author as well?
He is an author as well, who wrote the book How Orchids Rebloom, which we sell in both our stores, I believe.
Yes.
And he's a dynamic speaker, and he will teach you how to grow all the different orchids, and he does a great job. And then at 9:30 in Poway, we have Summer Vegetables with Richard Wright.
All right. You know, today is the 31st of July, 2021, the last day of another month. And most of this year is already blowing past us.
Very quickly. I cannot believe tomorrow's August. Kids are getting ready to go back to school.
Or not.
Or not, but at least in some way. The teachers are getting ready. Capri's getting ready to go back to teaching. So, I mean, it's happening.
Good.
Quickly.
It,
and I hope they all get to go back to school.
As it should be.
as life moves forward.
I was going to, oh, and the next edition of the Walter Anderson Nursery newsletter will be coming out probably tonight.
It was in my email this morning.
Oh, or this morning.
Or this morning. Okay. I may have come out last night, but
and
I didn't see it.
If you miss the garden talk and are still looking for when and what are the classes are that are coming up, it's in the newsletter. As well as?
It's on our website as well. Right at the top, there's a drop down that says classes. And that's walteranderson.com, and that's S-E-N. Walter Anderson.
Do you know what I have not received for a long time? So either nobody is sending my emails to the wrong address at S, the other one.
S-O-N, yes.
Or the gentleman in Germany is no longer the nice gentleman in Germany that forwards me the wayward emails. Because I haven't gotten one from him for years.
He's probably put a blocker on. And
smart.
Stop that.
Smart man.
Right.
Very smart man. Tell me again what next week's classes are, please.
In San Diego, it is on how orchids rebloom.
Oh, with Chuck. Thank you.
Because you just recited it, though.
Sometimes I listen to the show.
Sometimes I'm here and sometimes I'm not.
That is correct. If you would like to give us a call, the phone number is 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. I have seen a lot with this. You know, we had a little bit of overcast. We talked about a little bit of weather. But overall, it's been on the warm side.
It has been.
And even though I look at the map on the National Weather Service website every day, and it looks scary because of the dark colors indicating how hot it's going to be in the inland areas, they call it seasonable heat or seasonably warm, which means the upper 80s and low 90s are not unusual
in
most
areas
of San Diego in late July and August. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. However, I think it's been milder lately.
But it wouldn't be if you're looking at that map.
No, you'd be frightened.
Because the map scares me.
Right.
And it's not just because I'm easily frightened. I mean, I am, but that's not why. It didn't used to be that way. Do you care?
Nodding at me is not helpful
in a radio show,
well,
George.
What I was about to say is I don't look at that in the same way you do. I mean, I look at the what's the 10-day forecast. I don't look at the scary, not because I'm afraid. It's just I just look at the numbers. I know that you always have the maps up when I walk by. So
the 10-day forecast. I don't need all 10, but what are people going to be looking forward to this
week? In San Diego proper.
Along the coast where it's always in the 70s and maybe low 80s.
Well, that's what people come here for. So 78 degrees today, 79 tomorrow. The high will be on Monday right now, and that's an 80-degree day.
Okay, let's talk about people. Talk to people who live east of I-5.
So where most of our customers for the Poway store kind of live?
Yes, sir.
So right at the moment, it's only a nice 62 up there, so...
I was hoping you would go forward into the week and tell
them. I'm going to say that. So today, for example, you're going to need water. You're going to need to water your plants. It's going to be 87, and the high that we were talking about for San Diego on Wednesday is going to be 91 in Poway.
That's warm. That's going to be warmer.
But even so, as I was saying, it has been warm, but it seems to be a little milder. It's cooler. The cloud cover has been making it a little bit more pleasant to be outside.
On some of the worst days, it has not been as bad because we've had the afternoon
and
cloud
I prefer
cover.
To be outside even when it's hot. I think I have plant DNA. I need to be in the sun. I can't be inside for too long a period of time. I don't even like air conditioning.
You don't?
Oh, no. No, I'd rather be outside.
Do you use AC in the car?
Not very often.
You know,
I do when there are other people in the car.
It could be 90 degrees out or 90 plus out, and my mom hates the AC, so she doesn't want the AC on. But now that I have electric windows and door locks and things, and I'm driving usually, I can control that. So I don't know if that's unfair or not, but I don't understand.
I'd rather sit outside on a porch, on a patio, in the shade than inside with air conditioning.
On the freeway on a hot summer day, do you have the windows open cruising down the road?
Typically, you don't drive
on the freeway.
Well, I do drive. I mean, I don't have to go very far, but when I do, I have the windows down typically.
All right. I like it quieter and anyway.
I'm
but
different.
We'll bicker about this and talk about what the hot weather means a little bit more. If you would like to give us a call, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. You are listening to Garden Bicker on KCBQ and K-Praise. We're going to take a quick break and we'll talk about water and heat when we come back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but
it's all right now. Welcome back to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and K-Praise. I am David Ross along with George Allman. Ken and Mark are taking the day off and hopefully sleeping in. Good morning.
Well, maybe they're sitting up right now with a cup of coffee listening to us.
To Garden Talk.
Right. Garden Bicker.
We're going to rebrand it. Yes. Rebrand the whole thing. And then I can have my sister call and we could have family bickering. It'll all be great.
It'll be great.
So it has been warm. And we see different things at the nursery every week based frequently on weather and patterns that are happening. And this week we've seen a lot of death.
A lot of dead plants, particularly plants in pots, at least, you know, containers.
Frequently ones in containers. Right. And this time of the year, it's hard to overwater a plant, especially if it's in a container.
Right. And we've seen a number of native or drought tolerant plants that have been recently planted that have been killed off because they're native and or low water, and people think that means I don't have to water them.
Well, that's what happens. It's a native.
Right.
It can survive here in the summer without any water. So should I do it?
That's true. Once they are established, once they've been in your yard for a period of time.
1 to 2 summers. Right. After they've completed a summer or two in the ground, they are considered established. And so it does happen a lot. And people are worried or afraid to, air quotes, overwater their natives, so they just don't water.
Right.
And they're going to need regular to semi-regular water through this rest of this summer, and then you can tail off as the weather changes. But then next summer, they're going to need occasional waterings as well. My neighbors have a large area of natives. And I remember when they were planted, the landscaper who was in charge of the project told them not to water them. And the plants looked like they were dying. And I was talking to my neighbor who sort of wanted to listen, but sort of didn't.
I was listening to the person that put the plants in.
Because they know
what they're talking about, right?
And they weren't going to water because they're natives and they're not supposed to. And it was mulched and everything was done. And the plants looked horrible. The leaves were folded up and shriveled up and burning and dropping.
And with each passing day, they were dropping off, right?
I said, why don't you try watering them? And why don't you try watering them was an acceptable way to broach it and to make it happen. And guess what?
As opposed to you saying you need to water those plants?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess when you say guess what, the
result was
the obvious answer is that they started.
They perked up.
Thriving.
New growth came out. They started looking good. And so while they don't want to be watered every day adequately, they do need occasional waterings. And even once they're established, and those plants are now established. They've been in for more than 10 years. But they look horrible this time of the year. They're dropping leaves.
As if you went on a hike in a canyon somewhere. That's how they look in the summer.
But you know what's different hiking in the canyons in the summer? And that was a Mount Woodson hike when I was thunderstruck by this wonderful thought, is native plants have each other to lean on in nature. They're planted in a group, and all the plants are shading each other during the different parts of the day. But when we go home and plant a native garden, usually it's one plant here, one plant here, one plant here.
He's moving his hands around the table for those who can't see.
Thank you. And there is not that camaraderie. They're not helping each other out by providing shade to each other during the day. And so they have a greater need in your yard for water than they do in their natural environment.
Right. We tend to plant them more as a specimen, vice, you know, a group of native, you know, your backyard looks like a native habitat for most people.
It was a huge moment for me
epiphany.
To see that. It was an epiphany. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm nodding my head in agreement with George for those of you who can't see that through your radio as well. But it's a whole different situation and should be treated as such. That doesn't mean that they have to be watered every day, but an occasional, well, the plants will tell you. If you get used to, and that's a figurative tell you, not a literal tell you, just so you know. Although some plants do talk, and we talked about that last week. They scream or
they
something
scream.
Is what
yes.
the gentleman was telling me. But if you get used to what a plant looks like when it's healthy and happy and the leaves have a certain sheen and luster and color, and you'll notice changes.
Over time, yeah, you'll notice if they start drooping, if they start curling, if they fold, etc.
They
yeah.
discolor from the sun bleaching them out.
Right.
You'll get an idea that maybe they need
some. That's an interesting. We tell people when they'll come in sometimes with some leaves, we'll say it looks like it was sunburned. And people look at you with their head tilted and inquisitive eyes. How can a plant sunburn?
Like that cute little dog with its head cocked
right.
to one side.
Yeah. So, yes. How does a plant sunburn? Why would you say it's sunburned?
Well, because when a plant is drought stressed, it can't handle the sun.
And there's not enough water basically in the cell walls and in the cells to help prevent
and
it from burning.
And it cooks them. And we also see that on trunks and limbs, the same situation. You have drought stress causing leaves to curl and drop. You have less foliage to protect the branches. And then you get areas of the trees that get sunburned and cooked.
Now, some trees are more susceptible, like avocado and citrus.
And we see it also on stone fruits,
right.
which is kind of surprising because they usually can handle it. But we see whole sections of the upper surfaces of branches. I am turning over the light color portion of my arm. Like me, going out and flipping over. Also, we see that from trimming.
True, right.
If you trim during the summer,
right.
what happens?
You can get some sunburn. And as I said, particularly on avocado and citrus is what I see it on.
If you trim during this time of the year, you are taking away the portions of the plants that have been facing the sun this whole time and have gotten used to it, and you're exposing the...
It's like taking your shirt off for the first time in July at the beach. You haven't done it all year.
I try and not take it off, period. But yes, for that reason, if
right.
you take the outer portions of a tree and trim it off, they are protecting the inner portions. They are the portions, the leaves that are used to the sun and can handle it. And now you're exposing the ultra light skin below that is not used to sun. And that's going to burn right away, just as we are.
Exactly.
Or and, I am. I'm not trying to ascribe my burning to you.
Yeah, I tend to just tan, but you know.
Anyway, that's a whole different genetic discussion that we don't have to.
That's my
about.
Plant DNA.
Is that that's the plant DNA
Maybe.
In you?
Right.
All right.
But going back to water, you know, we
talk about the
native plants and others, and we talk about this a lot on the show, is that those plants that we put in the ground after they're established and can get away with minimal water, that very same plant in a pot, a large container on your porch or, you know, on the patio, that still needs far more frequent water than if you put that plant in the ground.
The longer a plant is in the ground and the more established it becomes, the less frequently you will need to water it. The longer a plant is in a container, the opposite is true. The more frequently you will have to water that. So it's in a container, regardless of its drought tolerance, it's still going to need to be watered, even if it's raining. And yesterday I was talking to somebody whose drip system was going on for 10 minutes a day. Actually it was 10 minutes three times a week. And it was not near enough to water. And I said, it's going to need to be increased dramatically. And she looked at me and said, you mean like 15 minutes at a time? Is 15 minutes of a drip system, of a true dripper, going to make much of a difference?
Well, probably not. And we've had this discussion countless times on the radio and in person at each of the stores, because a lot of folks have the drip systems put in, but they don't quite understand them. And if they have a single emitter or, you know, two emitters that are putting out a gallon per hour and they're running it for 10 minutes.
That's 1/6 of a gallon.
That's 1/6 of a gallon, and that's not adequate for a large tree. But they think, well, it's a drip system, and, you know, I put drip in to save water, so I run it for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And truly, if you're going to have a drip system, it needs to typically, if you're having those little emitters, run for hours.
Can we break it down for a little bit? How many quarts are there in a gallon, George?
Four.
And so 1/6 of a gallon is less than a quart. of water you're putting on that
plant? Yeah, I usually do it by, you know, you run it for an hour, you'd get a whole gallon. If you run it for a half hour, you get a half a gallon. If you run it for 15 minutes, you get a quarter of a gallon, and you're running it for 10 minutes, which is less than that. And they start tilting their heads saying, oh, yeah, I guess it's not enough, so I should run it for 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
That's because you're a trained teacher, right?
Years ago in a
instructor,
galaxy far,
trained
far
instructor.
Away. Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm not. I'm an untrained instructor. And that's why I did less than a quart, and you broke it down beautifully.
Well, it just to watch their heads as they start, you know, trying to grasp. And then they have the epiphany, much like yourself. But as you indicated, they think, well, I'll just run it for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And no.
It still isn't doing
that. And more so if that emitter is only on one side of a tree. You know, they have a peach tree. They've got this little emitter on one side. And the first year, it kind of thrived or survived. But the next year, when it's bigger and the roots are further out, it may survive, but it doesn't thrive and it starts to decline. And you say, have you checked the other side of the tree, the opposite side of where that emitter is after you've watered? And is there any water there? Is it moist? Is it damp?
And that's why it's really important when you're first planting to get those emitters right into the basin of the plant, because the plant is only drawing moisture from that original root ball. And sometimes people have a dripper a foot away from the root ball. It's going to have to run for an hour or two for that water to move a foot over to the root ball and get into it and move through it.
And then they have to, as that tree matures, move those emitters further out to get the entire root ball.
So how long do I need to leave it on?
Long enough. What, seven
Tell
and
me
a half
how
minutes,
many-
9 minutes, 13. No, it has to be running long enough to get the drip line, which is the underneath the tree, the canopy of the tree, to a depth of, what do you usually say, 2 feet is what you typically
say?
It depends
on the plant, but from 1 to 3 feet deep,
right,
and from 1 to 6 or 10 feet wide,
yeah, depending on the size of the drip line,
is the area that you're going to need to water. So however long it takes, and it can take
hours,
a long time.
If you're running drip, ice, hours.
And it might be time to add another dripper or two or three, or get the low volume drippers or sprays that will cast a wider shadow so they don't have to...
There are variable emitters too. You don't have to sit there with a half gallon or 1 gallon or 2 gallon per hour. You can put some that can get up to 10 gallons per hour.
And that is why we can't generally just say you're going to run it for 10 minutes. Even if we get pressed, we still don't have that number.
Too many variables.
Oh, that was stunning radio. If you would like to give us a call and participate, the number is 888-344-1170. You are listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ, AM and FM, and K-Praise. We'll be back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same.
But of course, it's all right.
Still all right now.
Welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 and KPRZ. If you would like to give us a call, that number is 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170, and you can participate and break this up a little bit. We were talking a lot, almost regularly, about irrigation and watering and how long and how often, and it is highly variable, and it is always an ongoing, it's a process, not an event. And as weather changes, the needs change, and it is always changing. I generally recommend people interact with their timers at least once a month, because things are changing that probably even more often than that. But it's a good
rule. You should be observant anyway and get out there and check, because sprinklers break, heads break, valves leak, and you just, the timers change, something happens.
The most common cause for failure, especially of new plants, is a lack of water. And we see more of it this time of the year, and we see it every year, and it never never goes away. So we are trying to help share. But
before you go to that, one of the big things we see when with people with drip, going back for one moment, is I run it for 10 minutes every day or 6 minutes
every single day. So they wet the surface like that eighth of an inch of rain.
Rather than these plants that can benefit from a much deeper watering less frequently.
So frequently people can get away with using the same amount of water, but applying it differently, putting it all into one irrigation so the water soaks down deeper and out
across
further.
The root zone.
Across the root zone, so it doesn't have to happen as often. So frequently, sometimes you don't even have to increase the amount of water you're putting on the plants. You don't have to increase the bill, but sometimes you do.
It's often you, yes,
especially in July and August.
You do.
But now that we've talked about and everybody knows how to water their plants, why don't we switch gears and go to a plant that has totally different watering needs and mess it all up?
Doesn't need any water, so to speak. It's something like an air plant.
What's an air plant?
A Tillandsia. Now, that was our Wednesday wisdom this week. So if you're on Facebook, you can follow those every week. We put something out of interest. I went with Tillandsias this week because I put these Wednesday wisdoms together, and generally it's something that I find interesting that I want to learn more about. It's all about me.
It is all about me.
So it's things that I find interesting. Usually it's insect pests, fruit trees, things of that sort. So this time I said, you know, there are probably people out there that don't grow fruit trees and don't have vegetables, and maybe they want something else, houseplant kind of things.
And so Tillandsias. Whereas David would say, to heck with them.
Well, yeah, and so.
You are reaching out to
them. I'm reaching out, trying to bring them in.
Builder.
I'm building, bringing these people in. But I do actually have, some Tillandsias, and when I say some, I mean one type. I have Spanish moss hanging from a pecan tree, and it's thriving. But a Tillandsia is an air plant. There's about 650 species in the genus.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. So there's a lot of diversity. Some are from desert areas. Some are from rainforests. But they're epiphytes. They tend to grow on anything that they can get their little roots on. The seeds are very light. They end up on telephone poles and trees. But they work really well as houseplants.
Inside or out? Well, I guess houseplants, typically, when you say houseplants,
for
it's
most
inside.
Of us, inside houseplants, they work very well. My Spanish moss is in a pecan tree, which is outside. I say pecan, you say pecan? I forgot. We had that discussion once.
Did we?
Yeah.
Pecan.
Okay. So the pecan tree.
However, I think a good pecan pie is what is prepared, but I say pecan.
I say pecan as well. So you have Tillandsias.
I do,
you
and
have
I've
quite
kept
a
them,
bit.
And I've kept them alive
because they're very, very easy.
They're low need, low water, and they do kind of take care of themselves because they can pull moisture out of the air, can't they?
When it's damp, they're fine. Heat of the summer, you have to water them a little bit, and not much. Now, do you dunk yours?
No,
you just kind of spray them down with a hose.
Do I seem like I'm going to take them down out of the tree, put them in a bucket, let them soak, take them out of
wait,
the
wait,
bucket?
Wait, before you go any further, no, you don't. You don't.
Okay.
Don't waste
of course
your time.
Not.
No,
thank you.
Yes,
I take a hose and I squirt everything hanging under the tree, which is
well. When you have large specimens and like my Spanish moss, there's no way I would take that big hanging Spanish moss out of the pecan tree to. So I hit it with a hose periodically.
That's what
but,
I do.
But for the little, you know, people have them in their home, these little Tillandsias, they really do well by dunking them. You just put them in a water for a half hour, pull them out, make sure they dry.
That's what our coworkers do at the nursery. They dunk them. But that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. But if you're, again, in a home where you have four or five little Tillandsias displayed on some kind of mount, you just put them
you
in water.
You don't just take the hose inside and hose them down inside?
Some people may. I would shy against that or shy away from that and put them in a little bucket. But do you feed yours? How about that?
No, I don't.
So they will do better and you can, with a little bit of food. We sell a food that's for bromeliads, Tillandsias in the bromeliad family, it's like pineapples. And we have a food that's tailored for them. I just use fish emulsion, and I dilute a little bit and spray it periodically. I started. You're looking at me. In your normal, what are you talking about? Voice or face?
For those of you who don't know what that face is, picture the RCA dog, cocking
but not
its
as
head
cute.
To the side.
Yeah.
Good point. Thank you. Please continue.
About 4 or 5 years ago, I was helping our Tillandsia goddess Shirley, who's very good with Tillandsias. I was helping her. Mount some of the Tillandsias or tag them. And when I swept up the floor, there were like 6 or 8 little strands of Spanish moss.
Did you steal pieces of Spanish moss?
It was going
moss?
In the trash. And so this Spanish moss, I hung these little tiny, like 3-inch things in this pecan tree. And now it's five, six, 7 feet long because I feed them periodically.
For those of you who do not know what Spanish moss is, it's the stuff that hangs from trees in humid, warm climates down south, and purportedly hurricanes come through on occasion to blow the Spanish moss out of the trees, off the telephone poles and things like that, and that's why we have hurricanes, purportedly.
Exactly. It's science. It's proven. They're actually very pretty, and they look great in...
They smell good. And tilanzias have some pretty incredible
flowers. They have spectacular
flowers.
They do, but they're terminal flowers.
Uh-oh, what does that mean?
That means that the plant dies once it flowers. However...
Well, how come I still have plants then?
You probably have pups.
Oh.
Plants that, you know, have developed off of the mother plant.
So like their cousins, the bromeliads, when they bloom, they die.
Right.
The individual plants do, but new plants come off of the stems, bases, trunks, whatever you want to call
them. Correct. Yes, sir.
And so you have colonies.
You do. You get that's a great way to describe it. Yep. Colonies of plants.
An edithae colony that is probably 20 or 25 years old, still hanging on the piece of cork that I got it on so many years ago from Altman's when they were dealing in those. And it's still hanging in the tree. And the reason I point that out is not to pat myself on the back, but it is
to tell people, George. It shows you how easy it is to grow, because if David's had it for this many years... It can't require much care.
That is correct. Thank you for summarizing it. Yes, that is what I was trying to convey. So,
rightly so, and because they are very easy to grow. And as I was saying, that Spanish moss that I have, it takes very little care. When the sprinklers go off, there's enough mist that hits them that they don't require a lot of additional care.
And you know that rain that we were mocking earlier in the show, talking about the eighth of an inch of rain that the soil received.
That's
not
more
not an eighth of an inch of rain. The moisture that penetrated an eighth of an inch or less in the soil would be adequate for the tilanzias. That would be fine for those. And they pull moisture out of the air through their leaves. There's more technical phraseology than that. But their roots are primarily anchoring products and not their sustenance.
And a lot of people, I know that folks come in with their phones and will show us a picture of how they're mounted. You know, they're mounted on cork board. They're mounted on bark, driftwood. People put them in lava rock, glass displays, and myriad ways to do that. And they come in with their Etsy pictures or something or Pinterest and say, I do you sell these? I want to get some of these.
You know what the easy, lazy way to do it is?
You throw it in the crotch of a tree.
Well, that's even easier and lazier. But a wire basket with no moss in it. Just hang the colonies in wire baskets, and the wire baskets breathe. They can't take soil because the soil would hold too much moisture and cause them to rot. But you could hang them out in the air. It's a very easy way to do it.
You know, this is a great conversation piece because Capri had purchased one for someone a while back and somehow didn't get it to him in time, and he is here this weekend. And this might be a great time for him to take it back with him, as opposed to sitting on the counter and her having to take care of it. So I'm hoping she's listening this morning.
I was wondering, this
is a friendly reminder that tilancia that you're nursing along that's doing really well can actually go to the owner.
Excellent.
Yeah. So the radio show has a purpose today.
Oh, good.
Helping the community.
Oh, it's about time. There are so many. You said there was a boatload of species.
650 species.
Tiny ones like the Spanish moss that eventually morph into a big colony, and enormous ones as well.
Now the one you have is that the one with the red flower that you've shared?
Yes, edithae, but I think it's the orange version. I'm not sure which. It's either the orange version of easy.
Well, if you're interested in simple ways to grow, to maintain them, it's very easy. Our Facebook page has a Wednesday Wisdom for the Garden Talk radio show, and there are four or five easy steps on how to maintain them.
Excellent. If you would like to give us a call, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. We're going to take one more break, and we'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name.
And we are back with more Garden Talk slash bickering on AM 1170 and KPRZ. I am David Ross along with George Allman. Mark and Ken are off relaxing today.
I submit to you they are sitting there with coffee listening to the show.
Yeah, I submit to you you're wrong. But on that note, why don't we head out to my almost hometown.
Of
One block. Out to Jamul, California, and speak to Tom. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys? Good. I'm doing good. How about you?
Great, thanks.
Doing well, thank you.
How can we help you?
Well, I brought a plant home. I don't know if it was the soil I planted it in or the plant itself, but it has a bunch of gnats in it, and I believe they call them fungus gnats. And they're spreading to other house plants. I just want to know how to get rid of them. They're in the soil.
Oh, well, that's pretty easy, actually. If you swing by the stores, we have a product called Mosquito Bits, which, despite the word mosquitoes, works really well on fungus gnats. It's a bacteria. It's a microbial insecticide. You sprinkle it on top of the soil, water it in, and that bacteria will kill the larvae form that are in the soil.
Oh, that sounds pretty easy. Yeah, because they're flying all around the house now too. So
and frequently,
I put out the traps for like bugs, sticky traps, and I've got quite a few for those, but I still haven't got rid of them.
You went home, you thought you were a hero bringing home a house plant, and then now you have brought fungus gnats into the home and. You're not the hero anymore, yes. Are you, Tom?
Exactly.
All right. So frequently this is compounded by soil that is being kept too wet. Sometimes people have saucers under the pots that hold water, and then it reabsorbs back into the pot, keeping them wet. That can be a contributing factor to this. But the mosquito bits are the solution regardless. And you might be able to go to Jamul Hardware and get them if you don't want to come to Walter Anderson Nursery in San Diego or Poway. I know it's a little bit closer, most likely, for you. So,
yeah, it's right down the street.
That you want the mosquito bits. Can you break up dunks?
Right,
you know, I've thought about that. I don't know. I would assume so. It's both the same Bacillus thuringiensis strain.
It's a
BT strain. It's the eye strain.
Is Israeliensis or something like that, or anyway, yeah, it's the Israeli. I strain of BT. So don't get the
K strain, which is used to kill caterpillars.
Yeah, don't get the caterpillar strain. Most people will have the caterpillar strain for sure. Not everybody has the mosquito strain, right. The I strain, but that's the one you want.
So is it two different mosquito bits?
No, it's one type. It's gonna say mosquito bits on it, and then usually. Underneath it, it'll say and fungus gnats or something like that. Summit is the manufacturer of the one we use.
And it's a clear jar with a red label on it.
Right.
Summit. And I think that's the one you'll find. And if you can't find it, come visit us at either of our stores. Both of our stores have them.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All righty, sir. Thanks for the call.
Now, those are more prevalent in houseplants, even though you can get them outside in good, rich soil. But outside, there are normally predators that help take care of them, which you don't have in the house.
You know, I'm giving you that look again because I'm thinking I have a bunch of houseplants hanging outside in my pomegranate tree. And I water them almost every day, and they've been growing and thriving. And these are plants that, had they been inside, would be dead if I were watering them that often.
Yep, outside different, certainly.
It's totally different. It's warm out there. It's brighter out there. They need more.
This is actually a great segue. You said I have houseplants hanging outside, but they're houseplants. How can they be growing outside? And the reason I say that is sometimes we'll have people come in with this unique spot on their porch where they want a plant, but it really needs to be more of a true shade plant. And I say, you know, you can try some of these houseplants here. Well, but those are houseplants.
Yes.
But you can grow them outside.
That's a great point, George. Yeah. You know, somebody might actually take something away from this show that's useful, in addition to Tom and his mosquito bits. Most houseplants, if not all of them, do really well outside, as long as you don't give them too much heat and direct sun. They thrive in the outdoor shade environment because almost the darkest outside shade is brighter than many of your interior locations, and they still get moisture
and
from the air.
And all these plants originated outside somewhere, and so they do well outside.
Are you, you sure they didn't start in first early edition caves?
Well,
with no light?
Maybe some of the fungus. But,
okay. Absolutely correct. They do really, really well.
And you know, just the same kind of care that you would give them if they were inside. Maybe a little bit more water if they're getting extra heat. But that's it. And you have to protect them from frost. If they're in, you know, if it's not a sheltered spot, you may have to bring them in the winter, but otherwise they will be fine.
That is correct. And I would submit to you most outdoor shady locations are under a canopy or a roof, which would protect them from frost in most situations.
And I agree. Absolutely.
So it does do well. And, you know, a really good outdoor ground cover houseplant for shade is spider plants. Have you ever tried that?
Yes. They do well.
And they will thrive, and they require very little care. They have fleshy roots that holds water so they can tolerate some drought.
Mm-hmm.
And they send out their little spidery...
And their little white flowers, tiny little flowers that come out.
I thought you were putting out your... You look like you're about to take a sip of tea with your pinky
up.
That's your little spider plant flower?
Well, it's my spider in a bad hand that's been damaged in stuff.
Oh, I didn't mean to make fun of that. Sorry.
That's all right. No, that's fine. But that's my spider plant flower symbol.
Okay, it's small.
It's
very small.
This is the symbol for spider plant.
And for those of you who do not know what the spider plant is, it's the little green and white leafed plant that sends out...
It's like a grass. It's more grassy than leafed.
It kind of does look grassy.
Yes.
And why do they call it a spider plant?
Because the daughters that come out, well, it looks like a spider. All the leaves that come out that hang, or the fronds, maybe a better word.
I was going to say the leaf stems that the new plants start off of.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yes. They look like little spiders dangling off the plant.
Okay. Now can we get back to where I wanted to be?
You can go wherever you wish. Yes.
Okay.
You're driving.
Am I? I want to go to talk citrus for a moment. I know... And not just because we're doing a class on it today, but the citrus leaf miner has made a strong appearance
in
Southern California. And it usually shows up from mid to late May
until
the end of October, November-ish, yes. And a lot of people use the pheromone traps. And the pheromone traps are functional, have a useful life expectancy of approximately...
90 days, and they do two things for you. They attract the males, and they get stuck in there, so you reduce the populations of males to impregnate the females, and therefore you reduce the number of eggs that might be laid on your trees, but it's a mitigating step. It's not a panacea. It doesn't stop it, and case in point is we have a bunch of them set right now on all of our citrus, but our wikiwa is covered in citrus leaf miner despite seven traps in the neighborhood. But the other thing it does for you is it's an indicator, it's a visual. You can go out there, look, and if you see all those specks, you can start spraying to kill off the moth itself.
That's not where I was headed
with
this.
I know.
Where was I headed with this?
So because it's 90 days on that trap, if you put them in May at the early part of this, it's time to replace those traps.
Okay, that's where I was headed with this. Thank you very much, Mr.
We have some time. I'm trying to help.
I appreciate it.
And, you know, not everybody's going to be able to come to the class, so this is to help them.
Yeah. No, that's what I wanted. It's been about 90 days, so if you're using the pheromone trap as your control or your indicator, it's probably time to think about replacing it because we're getting close to the 90 days.
That's where we're going. Now, you and I probably didn't get them out in May because I think I got mine out in the latter part of June, so I still have a little bit of time.
Where's mine? Where are my traps?
Are they in the shed or in the garage?
Garage.
Okay.
I still have not deployed. It's been 2 years.
So when you set those up, you still have 90 days from that date. You're okay?
I'm okay if I decide. You know, I don't have too much of a problem because I have been giving my citrus... maintenance watering. It's not thriving watering, so there's not a lot of new growth on them. So I don't have much of a citrus leaf miner problem this year.
That's taking lemons and making lemonade right there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
So anyway, that is, they like the new growth. And
they
we
do.
Have
the
some,
tender growth
some trees
is where
with
they
new
raise.
Growth at the nursery that... have leaf miner on it, so we'll be able to show you if you come to the class. What are the classes today again? Please remind me.
Certainly. Down in San Diego at 9 o'clock, it is going to be Olivia teaching a class on plumeria care, And up in Poway, it's David and I doing citrus at 9:30.
9:30 citrus in Poway and plumerias, which is always in a very, very full and crowded class at 9 a.m. at the Walter Anderson Nursery in San Diego, Point Loma.
So you might want to get there a little earlier.
I would think you would want to do that to get a parking space, a cup of coffee, and to enjoy the class, although I'm sure it's not going to be that crowded. They're going to have to space out a tiny bit, right?
Absolutely.
And if you would like to listen to George and David bicker some more, if you have not heard enough, come to Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway and listen, and we will have something important to share with you. You have been listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. Auto Talk is coming up next. Have a great week and weekend, everybody, and we'll be back again next week with another hour of Garden Talk here.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.